Limited or safe failure. During one of my first assignments as a software engineer in the defense industry, I asked my customer a question that led both of us to rethink our entire approach to a problem. The question was this: if this program was to fail, I said, if the software started to lose information, I asked my customer, how much could you afford to lose? How much could you afford this system to fail? The question opened the door to our discussion of a way of thinking that's called limited failure. For an engineer, the idea of limited failure is common when it comes to a system or a piece of equipment that's so vital to the success of a mission that it's actually called mission critical. If the component fails for any reason, the idea is to find a way to prevent its failure from ending the entire mission. For my client, his idea of failure and success before our conversation had been black and white, binary, either or. In other words, something either worked or it didn't. Discovering that it was possible for his software to break down, yet for the overall program to continue with a limited failure was a new way of thinking and one that he welcomed. The idea of limited failure has been very much a part of scientific thinking in America's space program since the very beginning. When NASA sent the first unmanned spacecraft to the surface of Mars, for example, its power system was considered to be mission critical. No matter how successful everything else on the mission was, if the spacecraft had no electricity, the mission was over. To ensure success, the engineers built backup power systems, but they didn't stop there. They also built backup systems to the backup systems as safeguards that are called redundant backup systems. By creating alternative systems that could kick in during a power failure, the engineering team had stacked the deck of success in their favor by minimizing the effect that the failure would have for the rest of the mission. It's this idea of limited failure that comes into play when we think of resilience as well. When it comes to resilience in our communities, the idea of limited failure is a powerful tool that goes a long, long way toward creating peace of mind. I've spoken to families in rural areas of America, for example, who proudly tell me that they have a backup well to supply water in the event the city water system breaks down. They feel that their backup well helps them to be prepared for hurricanes, tornadoes, and unforeseen extremes. They commonly forget, however, that to get their backup water, they need electricity to run the pump that brings it to the surface. So my question to them becomes, if the power goes out, how long can you be without your well? Their answer to the question tells them to what degree they should be thinking about limited failure. In this case, when to get a backup source of electricity for their backup source of water. Although I've described physical systems to illustrate what I mean by limited failure, the idea also applies to the way we live our lives. We can create plans to limit failure in the event of job loss, family financial shortages, and even the loss of communication with the people closest to us. Rapid rebound. The thinking underlying rapid rebound is precisely what the name suggests. Our ability to return functioning if something has been disrupted and to do so in a way that serves us. This applies to human emotions and psychology, as well as physical systems such as power, water, and food. As mentioned previously, we humans are definitely creatures of habit and routines. And when our routines are interrupted for any reason, one of the most important factors for our emotional well-being is how quickly we can reestablish them in some form. We find this to be true in circumstances that range from people who have been in captivity for long periods of time and those who find themselves lost in the wilderness to people stranded on desert islands or confined to tiny lifeboats lost at sea. From real-life accounts after the fact, where people have survived under such unnatural conditions, we learn that one of the first things they attribute their survival to is their ability to create routines that give meaning to each day. During an interview with one of the Iranian hostages mentioned in the previous chapter, He said that even in the small cell where he was kept isolated from the other hostages, he developed a daily routine of physical exercise, prayer, sleep, meals, and mental games that helped him rebound from the shock of being taken captive. I've personally witnessed the need for such routines following devastating snowstorms that leave entire mountain regions isolated in the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy that left miles of the Atlantic coastline looking like a war zone. 1 week after Sandy left homes, businesses, and neighborhoods in rubble, I was scheduled to speak at a conference in New Jersey that I felt certain would be canceled. To the contrary, however, the promoters opted to go forward with the conference weekend to contribute to a sense of normalcy, the rapid rebound, for people who had lost so much in the storm. Ironically, when I arrived, I discovered that the hotel where the event was held was one of the few that still had a full complement of electricity, hot showers, phones, and meals, all of which would still be absent in the homes and communities as long as 5 months later. Rapid rebound is the key either to getting back to the old normal or to establishing a new normal to meet the new conditions of a changed world.